Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $100 at WinBet, get a $100 free bet. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. To claim your free bet today, we're also brought to you by SGPN TV. Download the SGPN TV app today, available on Roku, Amazon and Apple TV. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford. I am joining you from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. Today is Monday, October the 3rd, and we are here to handicap some of the action for Tuesday, October the 4th. Enthusiasm for regular season baseball handicapping is at an all-time low. In the ranks, I don't think anybody wanted to look at any of these shit cards and pick any winners. But luckily for you, Degens, I have dragged everybody by the bootstraps, forced them into making some picks, and literally manhandled them and dragged them onto the show here to give us some action. Everyone's got their playoff heads on now, so looking forward to Friday when Ting gets kicked off there in the playoffs. But first of all, I'll introduce co-host number one. It's the youngsters today, Mr. Noah Bennick. Noah, how are you doing?
Doing pretty well, Malcolm. And yeah, I took the weekend off, completely shut down from social media as well. I tweeted out like a little thing, my first tweet in 3 days. That was one of my longer breaks I've taken from Twitter. I'm one of those guys that just spends 24 hours a day on that bird. But yeah, this is an ugly card. And I've said it for like 2 weeks now. I really hate that the playoffs or the postseason was expanded to 12 teams, because the lack of races here with 3 days to go is kind of sad, in my opinion. And that article idea got shot down by Blake. It was probably a good thing, because who knows what would have happened. It wasn't really gambling. But I am here. I have 3 locked dog total plays, and I'm happy to share with all you, and I'm ready to pick apart this Mets and Braves weekend series.
Well, no, what an awful thing to say. But the third host this evening might be the saddest man in the world. If you're having a bad day, people,
just you know, at me.
Yeah, if you think maybe things aren't going your way, you know, if it's raining outside, if your puppy just died, something like that, you can always console yourself with the fact that you are not Dylan Rockford, because I spoke to him for about 7 minutes before we started recording this, and honestly, he's sucked the life out of me, so the next half an hour is going to be absolutely horrific. Dylan, good evening. How you doing, son?
Oh, I've seen better days, boys, but I wish I could say it's good to be with you both, but it's not right now. Yeah, 3 games just stabbing me in the heart this past weekend, and we had the ability to control our own destiny, and we just couldn't get it done. We, with our 3 best pitchers, they just don't look the same. I don't know what it is, that lineup. You got to credit the Braves, though. They're a really good team. As much as I hate it, and it pains me to say it, they're better than us. So
was it one knife through the back, one knife through the heart, and one knife through the head, or is it just all through the heart?
All through the heart. It was so painful that I woke up this morning, thought it was a dream, looked at ESPN, saw that we got swept, and then called out of work just so I could lay my misery.
Called out of work?
He didn't go to work. Did you? What excuse did you give to work, Dylan?
Oh, I'm just not there mentally to give you everything I have. I can't do it. I would be doing a disservice to everyone if I actually showed up.
Oh, shit. He's broken. Dylan Rockwood's broken.
Because I was on the pod come playoff season, trade deadline, like, oh, come on over, you know, joking around, that typical New York Met.
Up eight games.
I saw we were even up 12 games at one point. I was like, oh, they can't catch us, you know. And then the rest is history. And
I saw a graphic from John Boy Media today. It was like the path of both teams and their trajectory to win the NL East. The Mets are just trailing.
Yeah, I saw that.
Winning the division. The Braves are bouncing up and down. They get close. They get shot right back down. And literally yesterday, they switched spots.
You know, as bad as the series was and it was bad – and obviously, it's not what we wanted. Atlanta's a great team. They showed why they are better. But you know what I think it really came down to was when we versed teams like Washington, Miami, we got swept by Chicago, Oakland. We went 6-8 during that span. So it set us up for great. So we could afford to lose 2 to 3 games in this one. So I thought those games really affected us more than actually getting swept by Atlanta.
Yeah, I think you're right. You've just kind of answered the questions I was gonna hit you with. There was like kind of where did it go wrong? Because as much as the recency of that series kind of overarches everything, did it before that? In fact, there's two things, because I was actually talking to a mate. I've been to play football tonight, and one of the lads there is a Braves fan. And he said, do you know what? The Mets haven't been that bad. They haven't really thrown it away. No. The Mets have probably got a comparable record to the Yankees in the second half. And, I mean, the Astros have gone a bit better. But the Braves, was this 72-30 or something?
Yeah, since the All-Star break, the Braves have the second-best record behind the Dodgers. And the Mets have the fifth. So it's not like the Mets were playing bad baseball. It's just that the Braves
exactly.
were playing better baseball.
Yeah,
and then you go to that, like you say, that sweep by the Cubs last week.
Yeah,
it's just one of those things. But here's the thing, Dylan. And I said before, I was genuinely trying to make you feel better. I said, listen, they're still in the playoffs. You still might have a World Series, but you just weren't even buying that. You seem to think they're absolutely toast from this point in.
Oh yeah, look at who we got. We got the Padres, who everyone's counting as. Out against we're home against the Padres. Then we have, even if we beat the Padres, then we got the Dodgers, who have always had our number. I would have rather have versed, get the bye and verse the winner of either Philly or the Cardinals, and then get the and then get whoever. So I think it's a really tough road. I don't know. I think another tough road on the AL would be the Mariners and the Blue Jays on that section, because the winner versus Houston. But I just think it doesn't look good for us, especially the way our pitching has been performing. Our DeGrom has let up 3 runs in like the last 4 games in a row. Max Scherzer doesn't look good. Pasek couldn't get past the 4th. So times are tough right now here in New York. I'll tell you that.
So Dylan and I are going to change roles here. I'm going to make the counter argument of why the Mets still, I think, have as good of a chance as any other team in the NL right now. You have the Padres over there who can't seem to get anything or everything going at once. You had Hader, who had a bad July, or a bad August. He bounces back in the month of September, but the offense can't get going. I really like you guys to win that series. And then going into the Dodgers series, they haven't played a meaningful baseball game in over 2.5 weeks. And we talked about this like at the All-Star break or at the beginning of September when we did like a little playoff picture futures episode, or we tried to anyway. And we talked about like this could affect the Dodgers a little bit, just like it affected the White Sox last year, where they had the division wrapped up. They had a seed wrapped up with 2 weeks to go. And then you get a bye, which is probably going to be like 5 days, 7 days long. I don't know how long off the top of my head, but you're not playing baseball at all during that spot or that length of time. I think the Mets could come in with a little bit of momentum after a series win against the Padres going into the Dodgers when you have DeGrom and Scherzer 1-2. No team wants to face those two guys. I think you got a fighting chance against the Dodgers.
You know what? I try to, but I've seen this show too many times. The Met, like Insano says, even though it was a dig, I should be wearing black for my funeral. I think he's right. The Mets just always gonna Met. You know, like everything looks so promising and looks so good, and then when they get there, they tease you. They'll win a series, and they'll even play competitive against the Dodgers. And then when they're down to their final strike, they'll tease you so much, and then they'll rip your heart out. So it's like a toxic relationship that I'm in right now. So
did we want to talk about the Braves side at all in this?
You guys could talk about it.
Malcolm, do you have anything that you wanted to add for the Mets?
No, I mean just they've been outstanding. That record, it's 70 something and 30 something. It's like 72 and 30 or something. And they've been absolutely outstanding, and they've hunted New York down with consistency. Even when they had a little slump, I mean, I'm talking through my pocket where we talked about Matt Olson looking like a frog in a blender a couple of weeks ago on the show, didn't we? And then
9 for 81.
Yeah, there you go. And then him and Dansby Swanson just sort of caught fire. I think Ozzie Albies comes back. He's due back off the IL next week.
Yeah.
And I think the issue with the Braves is going to be their third starter, maybe, because I'm not sure about Charlie Morton. So, yeah, we'll have to see. But they've been absolutely outstanding. And why not? They're going to have a good run. They've been fun. And you have to take your hat off to them. Because, Mets haven't been terrible. I think the Mets did just choose some bad spots to underperform.
And I think Starlin Marte, him being out really hurt us as well, especially with our power and our bat. So I think that, and you mentioned their lineup. You got to give credit to them. I have a couple Atlanta fans and, you know, got a few text messages. Their numbers are blocked, by the way, for 24 hours. But just look at their lineup. It's Acuna, Swanson. You got the kid, Michael Harris Jr., the second, Austin Riley, Matt Olson, Travis d'Arnaud, who gives us fits all the time.
So, Travis d'Arnaud is a huge piece. I can't remember what stat I heard about him. Playoff. He played every game in the Braves run last year in the postseason. If they didn't platoon him even a little bit at catcher. And I think he played every game in the Mets run. What year was that? 15, 16?
Yeah, 15 we went and we versed the Royals in the World Series.
And d'Arnaud played every single game of that. So he goes under the radar a little bit, Travis d'Arnaud, but he's pretty clutch, you know, when it comes down to it.
Mm-hmm, yeah, absolutely. Shout out Steven Underwood in the chat. New name. I don't see him chatting much, but try being a Leaf fan, Dylan.
Yeah, I know. Great. That one was good. It made me chuckle, so a little happy now.
And then Insano, the Yankees fan, going, great episode to tune into. But I wanted to touch on this. So I gave out my Matt Olson nugget. Yeah, he officially, I think we can say, he ended his cold streak. He was 9 for 81 at one point. And he had three tanks this weekend against the Mets. And then Dansby Swanson, he pissed on balls against DeGrom, Scherzer, and Bassett. Dylan said that already, their best three pitchers. So many weapons for the Braves here in the bullpen. You have AJ Minter, who has 15 holds since the All-Star break, 2.43 ERA, and 29.2 innings pitched. Colin McHugh, 195 ERA, 27.2 innings pitched. Kenley Jansen looked great this weekend. He shut the door on the Mets multiple times. He has 18 saves since the All-Star break. Dylan Lee, 273 ERA and 26.1 innings. Tyler Matzek, 327 ERA and 22 innings. Jesse Chavez, a lot of people give him shit, but he's got a 159 ERA and 17 innings since the All-Star break. And I saved the best for last. Raisel Iglesias. Since becoming a Brave in early August, he has pitched 25.1 innings. He has 14 holds, and he has only surrendered one total run for Atlanta. Brian Snitker's bullpen since September and early in October, he has a 155 ERA in the back. the 2022 Braves look a lot like the 2021 team under the radar with a healthy Acuña Jr., who is very hungry for a World Series that he wants to be a part of.
There you go. So I've just had a little check, Dylan. They're still fifth favourites. Captain Insano in the chat was asking what price they were. The Mets are 7-1. So they're still fifth choice with the books, Dylan. So do, you can't sit there and be all woe is me. You've got to have a small period of mourning, half an hour. Get it out your system, son. Come on, pick yourself up.
Yeah, I got to pick myself up eventually. I got to get to work. But I thought Noah made a great point. You know, I hate to give him credit, but the bullpen, especially Jansen, the closer, you know, we out-hit the Braves in this series, but every time it seemed like we got the bases loaded or the tying run on base, they were always able to get that double play, get a strikeout, get a pop-up. So the bullpen, I thought, was tremendous. And Seth Lugo, he's awful. I don't know why they continue to trot this man out like he's good. So I like Drew Smith, the young kid. I think he's a little better, but Seth Lugo just hangs curveballs and people take it to another planet. I don't know why they keep putting him out there. It angers me every time. You could hear it in my voice. And that's that. I mean, I have nothing to say anymore.
You said you don't like Brian McCann either, right? Or not Brian McCann. It's
James McCann.
Yeah. No, yeah. I don't like
him. He was
him
a former
either.
Tiger, oh, and that's but another, I couldn't get his name.
That's another thing. They brought up this. Me and Mal talked about the Francisco Alvarez, the new guy.
Yeah.
Me and him have the same amount of hits. What was he doing up at bat? You could tell he looked overpowered, especially the first two games. And then he was taking good hacks last night, but my thing is now you don't DH him today. Why? Like, we got to see what we have in this kid. He hasn't had a hit. I think he's barely made contact. So the guy looks overmatched. I think it was a bad spot to put him in, and it was just a waste. It was a waste, I thought. I like Volger back there better.
His very first at bat, he ripped one off his first pitch, ripped one down the third baseline, and the third baseman picked it and threw him out, and he was really unlucky. He was 6 inches either way, and it's probably a base hit. But, just one final point, because we've got to talk about this all night, and we're not going to. I don't think the trades really helped. They wanted a couple of left-handed hitters. Darren Ruff didn't do anything, but then landed on the IL. Vogel back, hit a couple of bombs, but you're not really keen on him. They let J.D. Davis go, who'd done quite well, actually, in San Francisco. He's looked okay the last couple of weeks. So, yeah, it was a pretty underwhelming when they had the chance to press a little bit. I don't really think that worked out. I'm not sure how ambitious. Whether they thought they had enough is one thing. But, yeah, that didn't really work out, Dylan.
Yeah, they clearly thought they had enough, but they didn't. I liked Volger back. I still do. I think he's a good DH. Tyler Naquin, he was good to start. He's kind of fell off a little bit as well. Ruff, like you said, landed on the IL. J.D. Davis going back home to California, I thought that was a great spot for him.
Okay, so a little bit of housekeeping.
That's in the postseason. I'm calling it right now.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, so a little bit of housekeeping. We're going to try and we will preview the wild card games. We will preview the playoffs as a whole. We've got some guests coming on possibly Wednesday and Thursday to get stuck into that. But over the course of the next couple of nights, we are going to dig around in the dying embers of this season, and we'll try and fetch out a couple of glowing coals and get some winners over the line. Did you like that analogy? I thought it was very poetic. So any lines that we give you tonight, we will give you from our title sponsor, WinBet. It's a great time to join. New customers who bet $100 will get $100. Casino is on the go 24 hours a day as well. WinBet is live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. Let them know we sent you by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. That is sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. T's and C's at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you're someone who knows a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. 00 Fubo TV is your place to go to watch all the football, college and pro football, Red Zone as well. Loads of channels, live sports and entertainment. No contract, no commitment. Cancel at any time. Try Fubo TV free for 7 days and get 15% off your first month. Go to FuboTV.com/SGP. That's FuboTV.com/SGP. So, for Tuesday's games, firstly, I handicapped Monday's games like a prize tit earlier on. So I had to redo everything when I realised all the pictures had changed. It's because I was looking at the wrong page. For Tuesday's games, the three of us have not discussed even a little bit what we've picked here. So there might be some duplicates. I mean, we might have all picked the same three games. Locks, dogs, totals, anything goes. And we'll try and, like I say, fetch out a few nuggets, whether it's the premium games or we're plumbing the murkier depths to try and find some rookie pitches or good spots. Because Dylan's sad, we let him lead off. Dylan, give us anything you like.
All right, let's get back on a positive note here. Let's start with our lock. I like two locks. I'll give you one I'm a little more confident about, and that's going to be the Diamondbacks. I'm going to take them on the money line over the Brewers. I was able to get -115 price. I actually made the Snakes a -130 favorite. The Brewers just got eliminated last night, and I don't trust Eric Lauer on the mound. The Brewers have lost three of his last four starts in September. And last time he faced the D-backs, they were able to win a close one, 2-1. He went six innings. He did give up those two runs. I think the D-backs have the pitching advantage with Zach Gallen on the bump. Home or on the road, he's been lights out this season. Out of his last 13 starts, the D-backs have won 10 of them, only losing three. And the last time he went up against the Brewers, went seven scoreless, shut him out. Only gave up two hits as well. Diamondbacks won that game easily. So I like the Snakes here on the road with Gallen. Give me the D-backs on the money line.
Okay, so I'm just trying to find these prices here. You said the D-backs were -115. So, they're a slight favorite here. The Brewers, -105. Total is set at seven. I think the D-backs are kind of sneaky good. I'm looking forward to seeing them next season, particularly. Some of the pitching, Merrill Kelly, Zach Gallen, they've got a lot of names. Well, not a lot. They've got some names that are okay. Where are they sitting at the minute? 7.386, so they're not a million miles under 500. And I think they're going to be sneaky good next season. I like Zach Gallen. I didn't have anything for that game. Noah, did you have anything on that game? If not, you can hit us with one of your own.
No, I've got nothing on that game. Just one, I guess, small correction, unless Dylan's calling for it. The Brewers are not mathematically eliminated, but they could get eliminated tonight, Monday night, and then when this record or goes out Tuesday, he technically called it. We could see. So with that, I guess my least confident of the three, I like all three picks, but the least confident I have is the lock, which is the minus money play. So I'll start with that one as well, since Dylan went lock first. Give me the Tampa Bay Rays -115 on the money line at Boston. The Rays are 10-2 in their last 12 games against the Red Sox, and they will have Jeffrey Springs on the mound. This season, Springs is 9-4 with a 2.45 ERA, 141 strikeouts, 30 walks, and 132.1 innings. He has a 1.43 ERA in his last six starts, but Boston has been a little bit of a tough opponent for him, with two of his four appearances against his former team resulting in him getting pulled pretty early. Boston is starting Nathan Eovaldi, 5-3 with a 4.05 ERA, 99 strikeouts, 18 walks, and 104.1 innings pitched. With a couple of bumpy starts lately for Eovaldi, I think this is a spot where we can catch Boston sleepwalking through the finish line of the season here.
Yeah, there's a term we use here for in football when it gets to the end of the season. We say a team's on the beach. Team have already cast their minds forward to their summer holidays. And I think the Boston Red Sox, there's a few teams who are on the beach here. I'm going to come to a couple in a little while. But yeah, I do like Jeffrey Springs. I picked him last week. I can't remember who they played. It might have been an under on the total. Springs against somebody. Any of Aldi's, this is just an exercise in getting innings under his belt. The result, I think, is unimportant for Boston and for Eovaldi. They just need him to get through four or five innings healthy. Another solid pick there. Dylan, did you have any thoughts on that Rays Red Sox game?
Yeah, I do like Jeffrey Springs. I made them a -135 favorite, so I do like the Rays. And we talked about it last week, Malcolm, that Nathan Eovaldi has just been very inconsistent up and down for us this season. So I do like backing Jeffrey Springs here.
Okay, so I'm going to give you my dog play first. I didn't actually see any lines before, but I might see some now. The players going to, what I've done for, I've picked three players here that all worked for me last week. I had a tidy little run Thursday, Friday, and into the weekend. We got some locks and dogs over the finish line and did okay. So I've gone back to the well on all the guys who did okay for me because I can't see in any of these spots why it won't go well again. So one of the teams I picked a lot last week was the Detroit Tigers, Noah. And I'm going to go to the, so they've got a double header tomorrow. The first game is the one I'm going to take, which is Eduardo Rodriguez. And they go to the Seattle Mariners, and it's Marco Gonzalez. Now, I faded Marco Gonzalez last week, I think, and that was by taking an over in a game against Texas. That game finished 10-9, and Marco Gonzalez gave up four earned runs in his five innings pitched. I backed E-Rod last week. I think he was going to have a strong ending to the season. He faced Kansas City in that game last week, pitched 6 2/3, scoreless, didn't give up any earned runs. The Detroit Tigers are 8-2 over their last 10 as well. So finished with a little bit of a flourish, which I think will please their fans a little bit because there was high hopes for them this season. The Seattle Mariners have clinched their playoff spot. Congratulations to them. Long time coming. But yeah, they've been a little bit vulnerable as well. I think they lost to Oakland possibly last night. So the lines on this one, I've got Detroit here at +144 with Seattle at -170, a total of 7. So I'll take the Tigers and E-Rod at that plus price of 144. Noah, how do you feel about your Tigers in this spot? And generally, actually, the last week or two, it's been a little bit better.
Yeah, I grabbed them at +150. I like it too, Malcolm. Yeah, I think me and you were on this Tigers train, and I was joking around early, but there is some reasoning about it. They are 10-2. I'll raise your 8-2 and say 10-2.
Okay.
Since hiring Scott Harris as their president of baseball operations and establishing their new regime here. Everybody on this team is playing to try to prove that they belong in this team's future. There's honestly not one person other than Miguel Cabrera that has a spot confirmed, cemented onto this roster. A lot of young names that have not performed at all very much this year, besides on the pitching side of things. But I think we're going to use a lot of the pitching tools and guys that have done pretty well this year as pieces and trades in the offseason. Harris has mentioned it already. He's going to be active. I think a lot of those guys are going to be sent away to acquire new pieces on the lineup side of things. For me, it's Eduardo Rodriguez who's won two starts in a row here, and he holds a 2.45 ERA in his last three starts, two against the White Sox and one against the Royals. And Malcolm, I attended this game actually where Marco Gonzalez pitched against the Tigers on August 31st. And in that game, I had the over. And I was so pissed about it because the Tigers had hit into three inning-ending lineouts that easily, I don't have the Statcast numbers for it, but they were very hard-hit balls. They left nine runners on base. I think this is a spot where Detroit can edge out the Mariners in a low-scoring affair. I grabbed it at +150, Malcolm. So just kind of bumped that up 6 cents. Why not?
What were the Rockford lines on this game, Dylan?
Yeah, so I made the Mariners in this one a -160 favorite. So if it's 10 cents more, I do like the Tigers. I love the over. I made my line 7.9 for this one. So I do agree with the over. But for my dog, are we doing dogs now?
Mate, you introduced it, so crack on.
Perfect. Yeah, so for my dog, I'm going to go out to the Guardians and Royals game. Matt, I think you might know what day it is. It's Cal Quantra day. He's a perfect 8-0 at home this season. Guardians are 15-2 straight up in his last 17 games. He started in those 17 games. The Guardians are 13-4 against the number, so usually when they win, they cover the run line. Cal's also faced the Royals twice earlier in the season. The Guardians blew them out in both of those games. I don't like Daniel Lynch either. The Royals have lost 5 of his last 6 games that he has started. He lets up a lot of hard contact. I think against this Guardian team, I don't think it bodes well for him. I think it's a bad spot. So I think they continue to roll the Royals. So give me the Guardians on the run line plus 125.
I had the Cleveland Guardians as my lock on the run line, but that was when I handicapped the wrong day. That was Tristan McKenzie against Zach Greinke. So for the two people who were in the live stream, I mean, fill your boots on that one tonight. That's free money. But yeah, why not? We'll go with that again tomorrow. Noah, how did you feel about that?
I love it. Daniel Lynch is like the one guy on this Royals squad that I'll backtrack. Lynch and Heasley are the two guys on this Royals pitching staff that I don't like to back at all. Other than that, I like the Royals team, but Lynch is just a soft-tossing lefty that just gets smoked by good competition, and the Guardians are going to do that to him. So I was eyeing this play. It was minus 190. That was like one that I felt pretty good about, but I wasn't going to give that out as my lock, and I liked a different dog already. So, yeah, I really like that play as well.
I managed to break Jonathan Heasley last week. Eventually, after he was doing an Annabelle Sanchez Phoenix from the Flames, I managed to get him turned over last week. Go. So hopefully that's ruined him. Yeah, thank you very much.
Do that to Dallas Keuchel over the off season. Maybe get him good again. Maybe.
Okay, I'll have a go, mate. I'll give it a go.
We'll get him good through the off season. Get him on a roster in the spring. Through April, he'll pitch fine, and then we start fading him in May, June, and then he can be our cash cow again. Do you like that idea?
Make a shitload of money.
Make us money.
Yeah.
I am all for it, Noah.
Cool.
Okay, we'll get your dog after I told you about the Elias game plan app, which is your ultimate sports betting and fantasy companion for NFL, NBA, and MLB. Elias Sports Bureau are the official statisticians of all of these US pro sports leagues since 1913. You can take your NFL season to the next level by downloading the Elias Game Plan app. It's got all the stats, facts, and figures that you need to know on there to make your experience a whole lot better. You get 25% off your first month when you choose the monthly subscription. Use our promo code SGPN25. So find the Elias Game Plan Sports Betting in the App Store, Play Store. Use our promo code SGPN25. PromoGuy.us is the best place to go. They will give you daily updates on things like cash bonuses on major sports books and all the best odds as well, comparisons in there. Plus EV sports betting strategies and the VIP Discord channel as well. PromoGuy.us have 100% tracked, transparent and proven method for betting smarter. Make sure to check out PromoGuy.us. And finally, No House Advantage, changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sports platform available today. You can play in pick 'em contests versus other people for a shot at winning $250,000 or more in cash. NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, etc. Check out No House Advantage today. Experience daily fantasy sports redefined. It's not just how you play, but where you play. You won't want to miss out on this. Our promo code is SGPN. Use that at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app to get a first deposit match up to $25. Noah, you're up next. And I think it's a dog.
Yeah, I announced my dog as the Detroit Tigers money line plus 150.
Oh, so you do. Okay.
So you have either the lock or the total up next.
Okay, I will go to my total is going to be, it's an over, and it is two teams on the beach here, so I'm kind of contradicting myself. It's going to be the Minnesota Twins and the Chicago White Sox. And it was just such a uninspiring pitching matchup and a low number. I want to know what Dylan's lines are in a moment, because the game lines are the Twins plus 121, the White Sox minus 142, and a total at 7.5. The pitching matchup is Josh Winder. Winder? What are we saying?
I say Winder.
I don't know.
It doesn't
matter. No, it doesn't. That's all right. No, it abstains. Right, okay. We've got two for Winder. I'll go with Winder. Josh Winder and Lucas Giolito. So I just thought that when I looked at this total, I thought it was going to be minimum 8.5. So we'll get to, we'll let Dylan. Dylan, after I've always made my case, Dylan blows me out the water by saying something like 6.2. Josh Winder is 6.29 is ERA in his last five starts. They've gone for 3.3, 4.2, and 5 earned runs, relatively short as well. Giolito has been a little bit better lately, actually, but all of his decent starts are on the road. You get him back at home, he just really, really struggles. He's got a 6.43 home ERA here. So, I just thought there's going to be runs in this. I know they're just going to, the bats are just going to swing freely. I know Captain Sanders has pointed out, made a really good point in the chat about checking lineups at this time of the season, because you see some names on there that you've never heard of in your life. There's a lot of weaker lineups being trotted out. But I just don't, I can't see a way why these two pitchers keep this anywhere near 7.5. So first of all, Dylan, you can give us your line and then tell us why I'm really wrong.
Yeah, so I set my line at 8.3.
You see, I'm so sharp. I cut myself.
I do like the over, but I do think since we're getting into the fall and colder seasons around the areas in the world that we might have to go back to hitting the unders, because for my total, I'll get to in a sec, but like you got it, it's very cold around, especially where I am, probably around where Noah is as well. So it's getting to be mid-60s, 50s with wind blowing in. So I would be very cautious at going overs as well.
Boo, you took the wind out of my sails there.
But I do like
just
those.
Just these pictures. I'm not buying it. Noah, any thoughts?
You know what? I'd that one as well. Wow, that was a tongue twister. I'd. But Giolito has just not been himself pretty much the whole season. He's been a shell of himself. So that's a guy that I look to bounce back next year. Like I predicted him to have the most wins in this MLB season, and it was like anything but. So yeah, I would be fading him here too. And you know, we've kind of known this, but the news came out that Tony La Russa has officially re-retired again. So I don't know, maybe you get a little bit of a rejuvenated White Sox offense, but I mean, they've been without him for the last 2-3 weeks. So yeah, that's what I've got to say in that game.
I think the Mets should go out and snap La Russa up for next season, didn't it?
Come on, bro. Come on.
Buck's been good.
Buck literally turned this organization around. I think Tony La Russa needs to. I know. I'm just kidding. But I do think Tony La Russa needs to stay awake more, especially behind the wheel, because you know he did get hit with a DUI. So
I think one of my favorite parts of this entire season was whoever he walked on a 1-2 count.
It happened more than
that. That was
once.
Fucking great. Absolutely up there. If we did it, need to do a top 10 silly moments of the season. That's right up there for me.
Somebody wrote an article of it. I saw it on my timeline today. But it was against the Angels. The bases were loaded, and it wasn't Mike Trout that you walked on a 1-2 count.
Wow.
Who were you walking?
Because wasn't Shohei?
No, it wasn't Ohtani either.
Oh,
it was like
Jared Walsh or someone.
I don't know off the top of my head. I can't remember, but it was a right-handed hitter, I think. So, yeah.
Okay, so right, Dylan, you've got one more pick for us. Make it a beauty.
Yeah, so we're going to the total. As for my total, I'm going to go to the Mets Nationals game. Hear me out. Let's go over 7 here. I just think the number's a little short. Made my line 8.1. Like I said, it should be a cold, windy night over here in the Tri-State area. But I don't really trust Taijuan Walker or Paulo Espino. So don't think either pitcher will last too long. Walker's had really bad September, letting up a lot of runs, early contact as well. If he wasn't playing for a good team, his record would be worse than what it really is. So I don't trust them, especially at home. He pitches worse at Citi Field for some reason. Last four meetings between these two have gone over the number as well. The over is 8-2 in the last 10 games for the Mets. As for the Nationals, their defense hasn't gotten better either. They're losing a lot of games, but They've also gotten over this number in three straight games. I think both pitchers will give up a few runs. The bullpen will do the rest. Seth Lugo will give up another home run. Got the wind blowing out around 14 miles an hour as well. So over seven for the Mets Nationals.
Yeah, I love that, mate. That looks like a really, really low number, especially neither pitcher is trustworthy at all. Espino particularly, but Walker's just been a little bit wobbly lately. So, yeah, I will co-sign that. Noah?
Yeah, go ahead. Retweet it.
And you, do you have one more pick for us? Are you done?
Yeah, I have one more, and I think we have the same pick. So,
we've got the same pick?
Yeah, I called it last week. When.
Okay, go on then. You can handicap Michael Lorenzen.
Yeah, we're going back to the well here with Michael Lorenzen. We're going with the under seven for my total. In the LA Angels and Oakland Athletics game.
Okay.
The total is, the under is 6-1 in the Angels' last seven games, and the under is 5-1 in the Athletics' last six games. Last week, these two teams faced off against each other, and those games in the series finished 4-2, 4-1, and 4-3 for a 2-0-1 record against a total of seven, like today's game. Pitching for Oakland is Cole Irvin, who got touched up for nine hits, only three runs, though, off of two home runs and four innings pitched at the Angels. But, you know, that was on the road. He returns back to Oakland so far, where this year at the dump, he has a 3.31 ERA, so expect him to bounce back. And then bumping against Irvin for the Angels is Michael Lorenzen, who is 8-6 with a 4.52 ERA, 78 strikeouts, 41 walks, and 91 innings pitched this year. His last start was against this Oakland Athletics team, where he went five innings pitched, eight strikeouts, three hits, zero earned runs. A cool thing that I think we could see LA do here as well is give Lorenzen an at-bat or two at the plate. He was a former dual player, so that means a pitcher and a hitter, and he hasn't had one plate appearance this season, and that would be the first year that he did not record a plate appearance since he entered the league in 2015. So you might be able to count on a pitcher hitting this game. Give me the under seven.
Yeah, I thought they were going to get some use out of him maybe with a bat at some point. He plays a little bit of right field, doesn't he, Lorenzen? He is my guy. I expected him to finish the season strongly. I picked the same game here, but I took the Angels on the run line at plus 140. I'm expecting a good start from Lorenzen coupled with Cole Irvin, that ERA of 8.23 in his last five. The Angels have won seven on the spin as well, so they're... Again, they're a little bit like Detroit. They've finished the season with a flourish when there's nothing to play for. Rory McIlroy's great at that. He waits till he's out of contention, then he'll birdie eight in a row. Detroit and the Angels have followed a similar thing. Yeah, so Angels on the run line for me. Again, a third pick where I picked it last week and it cashed for me, so I've gone straight back. I'm going to double dip everything here. Dylan, any thoughts on this last game?
I agree with both of you. I did make my total 6.8. I like the under. I like Cole Irvin better at home. And I do agree with the Angels on the run line as well. So I agree with both of you. You guys are better than me right now.
The first two games of the last series last week were 4-2, 4-1. So the under and the run line hit there.
Yeah, I just worry the Angels' bats have been really high. I just worry they don't tee off on Cole Irvin a little bit, but... I think if he has a solid game, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I think we could both win that. Those scores that you called out, the 5-1, 4-1, something along those lines will do us absolutely perfectly. I think that's well within the realms of possibility.
For sure.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, there's the end of the show. It was fun. We weren't too hard on you, Dylan. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Sounds fine, doesn't he, Noah?
Yeah, it sounds like a woman. Fine.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I just want to, you know, hopefully the Atlanta Braves get swept and we sweep the Nationals. That would be crazy.
There you go.
I don't think that's going to happen.
That's the spirit. They're playing the Marlins. They're going to get swept.
Yeah, he's back. He's probably starting to see the little chinks of light. We'll play this all
you know
back.
What? You know what? Dan Campbell on the Hard Knocks episode.
I love him.
And it's been said many of times. But you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, sometimes it's a train.
Yeah. Yeah, Dylan. Dylan has got the aura of a man who's been steamrolled by a locomotive at this point.
Just life.
We'll play this back, Dylan, when the Mets are 3-0 up in the World Series, and you'll realise massive fan you've been on this show.
Oh, no.
Well, thanks for joining us in your hour of despair, Dylan. I've very much enjoyed your misery. Noah, also, thanks. That was fun. Everyone who's been in the chat, Captain Insano, and the rest of the gang, we appreciate it. As I said a little bit earlier on, we'll be back a little bit more of this rubbish tonight and possibly Wednesday, and then we'll get stuck right into the playoffs, World Series, wild card games. We'll be back with picks coming out of our ears and some special guests as well. So, yeah, really looking forward to the next month. Good luck with all your bets. There's definitely some winners in there, so don't write it off for the next couple of nights. Get your head down, do your homework, and find your winners. Until then, we'll be back. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you down the road. Cheers.